All right, let's begin tonight with our current events. It is July 22nd, July 22nd. And, you know, before I do current events, I want you to turn your Bibles to John 1:1. John 1:1. This really is part of our current events. So before we read this tonight, I want to be reminded of something. John 1:1. Is everybody there? It says, in the beginning was what? And the Word was with who? And the Word was. Isn't that interesting? Now, when people will tell you, well, that's not the God I serve. Well, it's in the Bible. That's who God is. In this time in which we live in, right? The time of the end, Jesus said that in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, we say that too. We are living in the time of the end. It says, man will call what is right wrong and wrong right, right? I'm not wrong, but right. Okay, so think about that. In the beginning, God's word doesn't change. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's all there is. If it's not in there, it's not from God. Just that simple. When someone tells you, well, that's not the God I would serve. Well, I don't want to serve the God that you serve. Well, I don't know. That's not a loving God. Everything in here is love. God is. So his word is love. It is our guide. It is our instruction book. It is every single thing that we're going to be graded on at the end of time. This is it. This is the only thing. So I have to study this and I have to know this. Then John 14:15, if you want to turn there. John 14:15. Interesting. It says, if you love me, you'll keep my what? You keep my commandments. What are his commandments? What's his commandments? Love the Lord thy God with all your heart. Now, those are the top two. But where is commandments found? So if you love me, you'll keep my word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And if you love me, you'll keep my word. That's it. If you love me, you'll keep my commands. His commands are his word. So Matthew 24:33. Keep going. You just see how we're progressing forward. Matthew 24:33. Now the preceding 32 verses, we've gone over this for months. It explains what it's going to look like at the time of the end. And he says in verse 33, Jesus said, so likewise, when you see all these things, what are things? Word. Things in his word. Word, things in his word are promises. If he says it, it's going to happen. The word says, I'm not a man that I should lie. So in his word, he said, when you see all these things, the previous 32 verses, know that it is near. What's near? The end. Hey, when you see everything's happening, when you see it. Now, that word things, when you see all these things, when you see, we study that too. It's in the imperative mode, and that means I command you to know this. So likewise, when you see all these things, know. Know is a command. It means the same thing as go make disciples. Go make disciples, once again, in the Greek, means it's a command, right? Go. If I told you to stop, does that sound like a command? Right? Go, stop. To know, imperative mode is a command. I command you to know these things, verse 33. I command you. Well, it's not that exciting. Doesn't matter. I command you to know it. Isn't that interesting? What if we only studied and reviewed things that were interesting to us or that we liked? Can you imagine that? There's a stop sign. I don't like stop signs. Ticket, right? Accident? Death, right? Well, I don't like stop signs. I don't like commandments. I don't like people telling me what to do. The Bible, like I said, this is one of those parts, well, Pastor, I mean, I know people have a vent towards end times, right? The whole thing since the beginning of time has been pointing towards the end. Did you know this whole thing is end times? This whole thing. This whole thing from the beginning, because in Isaiah it says, I told you from the beginning what would happen at the end. So the whole thing is pointing towards the end. How do we live in preparation towards the end? You ever understand that? This whole thing is pointing to how do we live in accordance to or towards the end of time? Because even if you die before Jesus comes back, it's the end for you. right? It's the end. So this is the end. This right here tells us everything about the end of your life, the end, because we're going to stand before God one day, and it's the end of time, and we're going to stand before him. Luke 21:36. You don't have to turn there. But Luke 21:30 says, "Watch you therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things." Once again, the previous 31 verses, the first five being about the woman who gave some money at the church. And it says when these things start to rumble and crumble in the churches. But it says when you watch, once again, that is a command. The same thing as no. Watch. What am I watching? All these things. Why would he command us to watch and know something if you couldn't know it or watch it? Does everyone understand that? Because I know people, when you start talking about what's going on in the world, they go, "I don't want to know. How can anyone really know?" Because he commands us to know it. Why would he command us to know something that we couldn't know? Does everyone understand what I'm saying? So the mindset is, well, I who can really know when Jesus is coming? It says we don't know the hour of the day, but we'll know the season of his return. How do I know that? Because I'm going to know and I'm going to watch for those signs. How do I know that? By reading his word. Why would I read the word? Because I'm commanded to. And if you love me, you'll keep my commands, because in the beginning was the word and the word was God. Man, that was good. Thank you. All right. So here we go. 1 Thessalonians 4. Everyone turn to 1 Thessalonians 4. You can highlight it. You can dog ear your Bible. You can mark it up. But there is something that's important for us, I think, before we begin tonight. I want to remind you of something. 1 Thessalonians 4, it's actually preceding 2 Thessalonians, just to help you out a little bit. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. "Now, also, we would not have you ignorant, brethren," whose brethren? You and I, right? The church. "About those who fall asleep in death, those who have gone before, that you may not grieve for them as the rest do who have no hope." When people die as man, don't, if they're died in Christ, there's hope. "For since we believe that Jesus died, rose again, even so God will also bring with him through Jesus those who have fallen asleep in death. For this we declare to you by the Lord's own words," and God is not a man that he should lie, "that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord." If Jesus comes tonight, that means you and I are alive in the Lord. Does everyone understand that part? This is the exciting part. Get ready, because everyone's going to jump. We're going to practice jumping tonight. We're going to jump straight up. "Those who remain until the coming of the Lord shall in no way proceed or have an advantage at all to those who have previously fallen asleep." That doesn't mean we don't get to beat them just because we're still alive. "The Lord himself is going to descend from heaven with a loud cry of summons, with the shout and the blast of a trumpet, and those who have departed this life in Christ are going to pop out of the ground. Then we, the living ones who remain on earth, shall simultaneously be caught up along with the resurrected dead in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so always through the eternity of eternities, we're going to be with the Lord. Therefore, we're going to comfort and encourage one another with these words." So just as a reminder, we're getting out of here. We're going to be popping straight out of this earth. We're going to go shoot straight up. So when you watch the news, when you feel like, "Oh no, this is it," hey, we're going to be out of here. When Jesus parts that cloud, that trumpet's going to sound, and bam, we're gone. Lastly, before we begin tonight, Revelations 1. Revelations 1, verse 1. Revelations 1, 1. This is the revelation, remember, revealing or apocalypse. Apocalypse means revealing, or Revelation is also referred to as the book of the Apocalypse, or Apocalypto, of Jesus Christ. His unveiling of the divine mysteries. This is the Bible at the end. This unveils everything. What's it unveiling? Everything that's preceded it. Old and even parts of that, the parts preceding in the New Testament. This unveils, right? It's unmasking everything in the Old Testament, everything that's gone on before. God gave it to him to disclose and make known to his bondservants, that's you and I, certain things. What are things? His word, right? His word, promises in his word, which must shortly and speedily come to pass. What are those things he's referring to? The things that Jesus said in Matthew 24:33. He goes, "I command you to know," right? "I command you to know." Luke 21:36, he said, "Watch and see." In John, it says right here, he says, "There are certain things which must come shortly come to pass." What are those things? Everything that Jesus said is going to happen in Matthew 24 and Luke 21. And he sent communicated through his angel messenger to his bondservant John, John the Revelator, who has testified to and vouched for all that he saw in his visions, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. So blessed and happy is the man who reads this. That's me. Thank you, Lord. And blessed and happy are those who hear it. That's you. But we need to keep ourselves true to the things. What are things? His word, which is written in it. We have to keep ourselves true to it in order to keep ourselves ready for the rapture of the church, 1 Thessalonians 4, also in Colossians, also in Hebrews. You guys get this? There's promises in God's word. John, to the seven assemblies and churches that are in Asia, may grace, God's unmerited favor, be granted to you in spiritual peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful, trustworthy witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the prince, ruler of the kings, to him who ever loves us and has once loosed and freed us from our sins by his own blood. Verse 6, he formed us into a kingdom, a royal race, a priesthood to his God and Father, we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We can all sing that later. To him be the glory and the power and the majesty and dominion. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see. Verse 7. Behold, he comes riding with the clouds. You guys know that song? These are the days of Elijah. Verse 7, these are the days. He's going to come with the clouds. Every eye is going to see, even those who pierced him. All the tribes of the earth shall gaze upon him and beat their breasts and mourn and lament. Even so, amen, I am the Alpha, I am the Omega, the beginning, the end, says the Lord God, he who is and was and who is to come, the almighty ruler of all. Whew! Isn't that exciting? Now you're prepped for current events. Because sometimes they get a little scary, but that's going to be fine. Fear not. Here we go. Saudi Arabia. This is King Salman. We introduced him 2 weeks ago, even though he took reins for over King Abdullah in Saudi Arabia. King Abdullah, done in his reign, January 2015. King Salman, the next one, took over. The word in the news, it said Saudi Arabia now considers its own nuclear options after Iran deal. Do you not think some of the Middle East is uptight about what's going on? Not everyone likes Iran. Matter of fact, very few people like Iran. Some people in Iran don't like Iran. So, King Salman said, our response to this deal, to our biggest enemy, Iran, has not only struck with the world powers to accelerate its own nuclear plans, but we ourselves are looking at creating our own atomic infrastructure and weaponize it as soon as humanly possible. Sounds like there's an arms race that's going to be happening over in the Middle East. We're going to talk about that more as we've looked at that the last couple weeks, about what's going to happen in the Middle East at the end of time. But while it's recently made moves to advance its nuclear program, experts suspect it may be a little bit behind Iran in their capabilities. An expert in Saudi Arabia, on Saudi Arabia from the United States, that says, I think Saudi Arabia is going to seriously try to get the bomb before Iran does. It's just like India and Pakistan. The Pakistanis said for years that they didn't want one, but when India got it, so did these. See, everyone's jealous. Everyone wants to keep up the Joneses, even with nuclear power. See, if you got one, I want to get one too. The conservative kingdom is now engaged in the contest for power with the Islamic Republic stretching across the region and fears the nuclear deal that the United States is now trying to get with Tehran for international pressures is going to not just cripple them, but the region because of what is taking place. So everyone is uptight. Now, we get uptight because we can't believe that this deal might pass. And as you guys have been watching, the head of the House, John Boehner from Ohio, he's saying we're going to strike down all these deals. You guys have been watching this, right? This is going back and forth. It's on the news. So watch it because everyone's got a voice on this, from the EU to the UN to people in the Middle East outside of that. So here we go. Next, China deploys military hardware across Russia ahead of army games. Now this is, okay. This is, I was reading this today and Kelly was in the office and I started laughing. I go, I can't believe this. So Chinese military personnel and hardware have been successfully deployed in military bases all across Russia preparing to take part in the International Army Games along with 14 other nations. This is considered the Olympics for military professionals. So what happens is all across Russia, this is the first time it's ever been held in Russia in the last 11 years. So 14 Middle East powers are coming together inside of Russia. They bring their tanks. They bring not airplanes, they bring everything that's groundworthy. They bring that. And what they're basically doing is they're having races. Tank races, truck races. Now they also, what they do is the military engineers, they check out why yours is faster. They exchange ideas. And then they also strike up financial deals on buying your equipment. Have you guys ever heard of this? I mean, I'm reading this today. It's described, like I said, as the Olympics for military professionals. Now it gets better. So China has said, I want you to look at this map now. Here's China, and then to the north, northwest is Russia. It says the People's Liberation Army of China has brought their Type 96 Sinks to participate in the tank biathlon, I love this. Among other things taken by the Chinese team are different all-terrain vehicles, engineering, reconnaissance vehicles, air defense systems, just their systems itself, tractor trucks, pontoon boats, and heavy mechanized bridge and maintenance shops. Heavy mechanized bridge and tank and maintenance shops. Why is that such a big deal? Because this year, for the first time, they're going to be taking place an open water contest competing to see who can make a pontoon bridge quicker, specifically designed for the Euphrates River. Now, I want you to look up on the map on the far left side. You guys see that red arrow? You guys see the red arrows going left, right? Remember, in the purple is Turkey. When you go from starting in the northwest in Turkey, going to a southeast direction, it cuts right through Syria in that light blue, and then it's going to cut right through Iraq and dump out into the Gulf right at Kuwait. So the Euphrates River goes right through there. Well, what's the big deal? Who cares if they're practicing building bridges on rivers specifically for the Euphrates? Interesting enough. Like I said, this isn't Christian news. This is regular news. What did we look at 2 weeks ago? Revelation 16:12, the sixth angel poured out a vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water therefore was dried up, and the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. The Euphrates River, as it goes northwest through Turkey and down, if you guys look straight up, right off the tip of Turkey, you see Russia. Russia to the north, or the east, which it is, and China to the east. You guys remember there's going to be a 200 million man army coming from the east? Remember, you studied that's Bible. What are they going to do? They're going to cross over the dried up Euphrates. Did you know they're practicing war games right now for an army from the east to cross over the Euphrates? I read this and I go, wait, we've just been studying this. This is the part where when we go through these Bible studies and we're going through God's word, when you watch the news, it's going to quicken you. It's going to go, oh, wait, I just studied that. Isn't that great? When God puts something in you, I don't care if it's not just end time stuff. It could be finances, marriage, whatever. You do devotions or you're studying. All of a sudden, something happens in that day or two or 3 days right around that. It's like, oh, God's word just prepared me for this. So I was reading this. I went, wait, you got to be kidding me. They just said this. They're having Olympics in these 14 countries all around to the east of the Euphrates are getting together to do an Olympics and practice war games. And it's to set up bridges to cross over the Euphrates. They just have no idea that's going to be dried up. All that waste of time and energy. If they would just read their Bible before they attack Jerusalem, oh, it would be so much easier. Okay, thank you for your laughter. All right. See, God's word isn't scary and gloomy and doomy. It's right. Revelations 1 says, blessed are you who read this, right? This is a good thing. Now, everyone knows who this is, correct? Franklin Graham. He has been lighting up Instagram. He's been tweeting, Facebook. He's on the news nonstop. Anybody can get their hands on Franklin Graham. I don't care if it's CNN, MSNBC. They've been grabbing him and they've been throwing him on. Why? He's getting ratings. Why? Because he don't care. Right? He's like Donald Trump of the Christian world, right? He just doesn't care. He just says anything. It's like whatever happens, happens. Franklin Graham, he don't care. Evangelist Franklin Graham said, Muslims must be barred from entering the United States. Well, that's not politically correct. He don't care. In light of what he said to be the growing threat of Islam, once again, this is not a Christian news magazine or an article. They're just saying, in what he thinks to be a growing threat of Islam, evidenced by the recent fatal shootings in Chattanooga, Tennessee. In the wake of last week's tragedy that claimed the lives of five service members, which we prayed over on Sunday, the son of Reverend Billy Graham said on Friday that America needs to bring an end to the immigration of Muslims to the United States. He posted to his Facebook page that those deaths are the result of radical Muslim whose family was allowed to immigrate to this country from Kuwait. I mean, he goes on and, wow. Every Muslim that comes in this country has the potential to be radicalized, and they do their killing to honor the religion and Muhammad. Wake up, America. During World War II, we did not allow Japanese to immigrate to America, nor did we allow Germans. So why are we allowing a religion that has declared war on us? Wow. He went on to say, let your congressman know. Ask for your congressman to be removed if he doesn't do something about this. We still need to pray for the men and women who serve this nation in uniform, that God would protect them, though. The preacher's remarks have been reposted more than several hundred thousand times. This is just Friday, and it keeps going. Now, would that happen? I'm going to give you a little opinion, a little op-ed. With our current administration, I just want to show you three quotes you might have heard, but I want to make sure I research these and to make sure, like, were these things really said? First, President Obama said, the future must not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam. And that's what he said addressing the United Nations General Assembly a couple years ago. So the future must not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam. So he wants, right, what Franklin Graham said and what other people are saying, that's not going to happen with the current administration. Secondly, the person who made me proudest was my brother, our president said, because he converted to Islam. That is from his book, Dreams of My Father. Thirdly, this is reference to the call to Muslim prayer, he said, is one of the prettiest sounds on earth at sunset. So, I don't foresee not allowing the migration right now. And this is why we need to pray, right? Pray for protection. You know that God can raise up and depose anybody he wants to. God can change the mind of anybody. He can do whatever he wants to do. Okay? So, but we can't be afraid. This is not time to back down. But we need to pray for our troops, not just here, but abroad especially. So lastly, tonight, before we begin, is in the wake of the news of the proposed deal that was put forth from the United States to Iran, Friday ended Ramadan. And a little sidebar, I don't know if you guys, Empire State Building in New York City, different things in different times and seasons, they light up the top, I don't know, 20, 30 floors of the Empire State Building. On Friday, they decided to light it green in honor of Ramadan. Downtown New York, in honor of Ramadan, Islamic holiday, they decided to light it green. At the same time, this is interesting, at the same time, they're lighting it green. Early in the day, in Iran, a senior Iranian cleric delivered Friday's prayers in Tehran, broadcast all throughout the Middle East. He stood at the podium and declared, "We will trample upon America and all its land." Think about this. He is their spiritual guide, Islam religion, in Iran, who we just made the deal with. He says, and I'm going to continue with this a little bit, he says, we're going to trample America. A couple hours later, we light up downtown in New York City celebrating this religion who just said, we're going to trample you. At the end of time, the word says that man will call evil good and good evil. The Iranian cleric went on to say, who was handpicked by the supreme leader of Iran, who is Ron? There we go. To deliver the prayers to conclude Ramadan, delivered a message of hostility towards the United States. And the first official remarks since the final nuclear deal was signed in Vienna last week. Persian language message on the podium declared, we will trample upon America. So on the TV at the bottom, in its Persian language, and it also said, we will defeat the United States and conquer the Americans. This is the person, this is the religious leaders who we just did the deal with. Friday prayers are known for being officially sanctioned by the state and a sign of the supreme leader's thinking on the issues. Analysts who spoke to Washington media about this anti-American tone of last week's prayer said, this is a sign Tehran believes it has bested the United States in its talks. We talked about that last week, that Rouhani said, I can't believe we got everything we asked for. Now, once again, I'm not talking about now, I'm not going to get into legislation, all that kind of stuff. But what I want to tell you, don't freak out. You know that God is in control? These things are happening for a reason. So we're studying the Word. It's not that in the natural we can't believe these things are taking place because it doesn't make sense. But we are studying a supernatural thing that was prophesied thousands of years ago. And so it does make sense what's going on. Does everyone get that? In the natural, it doesn't make sense, but we're following a supernatural word. So this trumps and explains why these deals are taking place. It explains why the Middle East is upset about Iran. It explains why Saudi Arabia is upset. It explains all these things which are taking place. So don't get too like, oh my goodness, I can't believe this is taking place. In the natural, yes. Supernaturally, Jesus is coming. That's all you can say. Jesus is coming. This Jesus is coming. All right. Everyone, let's grab your notes. Time of the end. The time of the end, part four. Time of the end, part four. Every week when you come, like I said, the notes are out there. And take as many as you want. Take as many CDs as you want. That's why they're there. Don't feel bad. You know, when the news gets a little rough, though, I know some people, they get upset, and they just. So, all right, we haven't done that in a while. I just wanted to bring that up. Okay, time of the end, part four. Tonight we're going to continue looking at the facts regarding the empire of the end of the Antichrist, the eighth empire. Or kingdom mentioned in Scripture, and it is one of the first seven empires of prophecy. So that eighth empire is going to come out of one of the preceding seven. We looked at the Roman Empire about 4 weeks ago, then we looked at the Byzantine Empire, and we looked at the Ottoman Empire. Now, there is an overlay, once again, here just to remind you. It's like, okay, those are the regions or areas. It's not an exhaustive list, but through time, that some things have changed and so forth geographically, but that is predominantly where those three were. Now, we went through the word last week. Rome, Italy will be the headquarters for religion. Rome, Italy will be the headquarters for religion in that first 42 months of the tribulation. Okay? And at the beginning of the tribulation, in Mystery Babylon, this reference to Mystery Babylon will be this form of government. So it'll be a form of government called Mystery Babylon, and there will be a headquarters of religion which will be in Rome, Italy. Just recapping so you guys, we're all catching up. The two witnesses from last week, my opinion, Elijah and Enoch, will be witnesses for the first 42 months of the tribulation. This is right out of the Bible. We looked at this first 42 months. And they will be in Jerusalem. Then the Antichrist will come in, overthrow Jerusalem, and kill them. And they're only going to be dead for 3.5 days. Then they will rise again in front of the whole world, and everyone will see them go up into heaven. You guys remember this? I'm going to read this. I just want to remind you, this is how awesome and supernatural this is going to take place. So I'm going to grant power of prophecy to my two witnesses. Some people might think it might be Moses, Elijah, and Enoch. For 1,260 days, 42 months or 3.5 years, dressed in sackcloth. So they're going to be going around, and they're going to be ministering, witnessing inside Jerusalem. The Bible says for 3.5 years after the rapture of the church. These witnesses are the two olive trees in verse 4, and the lamb stands before the Lord of the earth. Verse 5, if anyone attempts to injure them, fire pours from their mouth. Whoo, remember that? Don't get next to me. Fire going to breathe out. Fire pours from their mouth and consumes her. If anyone should attempt to harm them, thus he is doomed to be slain. Now, these two witnesses have power to shut up the sky so that no rain may fall during the days of their prophesying, their prediction of events relating to Christ's kingdom and its speedy triumph. No one can mess with them. That's what he's saying. Nothing. Nothing's going to. Nature. People, nothing. They also have power to turn the waters into blood, to smite and scourge the earth with all manners of plagues as often as they choose. Man, wouldn't you want to come back as one of those two guys? Man, what? I could have been Enoch. Why couldn't I have been Elijah? I'd love to do that. Hey, you're bothering me? Whoosh, just gone. Boom. Rain. Just reading this. I believe God's word is true. I believe every single thing is it. I don't think this is metaphoric. I believe this is what's going to take place. But when they have finished their testimony and their evidence is all in, the beast, the monster that comes out of the abyss, this beast system led by the Antichrist will wage war on them and conquer them and kill them. Where's this going to be at? In Jerusalem. Their dead bodies, so he's gonna flood into Jerusalem and he's gonna take them out. Their dead bodies will lie exposed in the open street in a public square of the great city, Jerusalem, which is in a spiritual sense called by the mystical and allegorical names of Sodom and Egypt, where also the Lord was crucified. For 3.5 days from the races and tribes and languages and nations will gaze at their dead bodies and will not allow to put them in a tomb. Why? He wants everyone to see them pop up. Those who dwell on the earth will gloat, exult, and rejoice. That's the enemy, Satan, taking their ease and sending presents and congratulations to one another. That's how sick this world's going to be, everyone. The Holy Spirit is already, in 2 Thessalonians, it says the Holy Spirit's already pulling himself away. Holy Spirit's inside of us. There's a presence in this world. He's pulling away. This is what it's going to look like halfway through the tribulation. Because these two prophets have been such a vexation and trouble and torment to all the dwellers on the earth. But after 3.5 days, by God's gift, the breath of life. The breath of life is that same phrase that's used in Genesis 1, 26, 27. It's also used when you give your heart to the Lord. It says that the Spirit of God, or the breath of life, again entered into them. So the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, remember, if it dwells in you, it's going to quicken your mortal body. So the Spirit, or the breath of God, went back inside and entered them, and they rose up on their feet, and great and dread and terror fell on those who watched them. It freaked me out too. So you can understand what's going to happen. So after 42 months, the rapture of the church takes place, right? Whew, we're gone. We just read that in 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. We're gone. Right around that time, Ezekiel 38:39, right around the time the rapture of the church, 10 nations will rise up to come up against Israel. That's the war of Gog and Magog. And it says that they're going to turn on themselves. There's going to be hailstorms and nothing. This is not your notes right now. This is previous notes from months ago. Just trying to catch you up to speed on what's going to just put place in your mind. There's already tension. Over in the Middle East, there's 10 nations that the Bible lists specifically. They're going to come up against Israel. They're not going to be able to take Israel out. It says Israel is not going to have to fire a shot. They're all going to come up in one night and destroy themselves. Then it says terror will reign across them because they know God's hand is on them. Did you know right about that, where it says, the Bible says right about the time the rapture of the church takes place. The rapture of the church takes place, then these countries try to attack Israel, and Israel can't be touched. So then there's a time of 42 months that the Bible says there's going to be a time of peace. During that time of 42 months, first 3.5 years, these two witnesses are going to go out ministering in Jerusalem. They're going to go out to the Jewish people. They're going to be ministering for 3.5 years. But the beginning of that first 3.5 years, 10 nations, the Bible doesn't say which nation specifically, but it says the area. Remember the Roman Empire, the Byzantine, the Ottoman? Out of that area, 10 nations are going to form a coalition, and they're during that 3.5 years. So that's where it goes into now here. Rome then will be destroyed at the end of 42 months. So there is this one world, there's a religion going on. Remember last year? This is going back last July, that the head of Israel, president at that time, Shimon Peres, said, I want the Pope to head up a one-world religion. They're currently working on united religions right now. This is not a pipe thing. This is like, oh, where did you hear that? In someone's basement? No, this is happening. It's in the news. It's on press conference, BBC, MSNBC, united religions they're working on. Last year in his tour of the United States, he had met last year he met with Joel Osteen and Rick Warren trying to find commonalities in our religions. They're trying to get rid of what we don't agree on so we can focus on what we are. Why? This is a precursor to a one-world religion. How do I know that? Because the first 42 months, the Bible says that the religious headquarters is going to be in Rome. Do you guys mean it? This is 2,000 years ago that said this is going to be. And the Antichrist, then after 42 months, will be given power by these 10 kings. These 10 kings, after 3.5 years of not touching Israel, because God had his hand on them, something's going to trigger something after 3.5 years. Why? Bible prophecy is going to take place. I don't know what it's going to be, but all of a sudden, they're going to give power over. And they're going to say, you know what, Antichrist, you world leader, let's form a new coalition, the Eighth Empire, and we're going to go attack Israel. This is what happens in the passage we just left. He floods into Jerusalem after 3.5 years, after the rapture, and he takes out the two witnesses. For 3.5 days, people think he's something special because no one else could kill him. He will set up his new empire or caliphate. Remember, caliphate is government and religion together. Mystery Babylon, the first 42 months of the rapture, after the rapture, the first 42 months, there's a mystery Babylon that the Bible says that mystery is that region over there, not specifically, there's this region that's to the north of Jerusalem, that there's going to be a governmental control, mystery Babylon, monies as well. Then there's going to be religion that's going to be found in Rome. But then the two will be combined after 42 months. Is everyone following me on this? After 42 months, peace is over. The two witnesses are dead. Bam, then they rise up. They fly away. But the caliphate now of religion and government is now set up in Jerusalem. That government religion is Daniel 12:7, where it says it's going to set up in Jerusalem is Daniel 11:45. That's from last week in your notes. So there's five facts concerning the empire of the Antichrist, or the Eighth Empire, which will come to power in the final 42 months. Okay, there's an Eighth Empire. Last week we looked at facts regarding the empire of the Antichrist, which is the Eighth Empire. Eighth Empire. 10 kings will surrender their nations in 1 hour. This is from last week now in Revelations and Daniel. Then these kings will submit, these 10 kings will submit and help destroy a city in that 1 hour. It's all throughout Revelation. These 10 kings and the Antichrist will control the economy, Revelations 13:68, and they will control the economy especially, and they're part of the world in the last 42 months of that tribulation. Right out of Jerusalem, they're going to control that whole Middle East. Now, there are going to be things globally happening as well, but the intensity of what's going to be taking place is going to be right around those 10 nations. Everyone understand? This is where the intensity of it's going to be. The further you get away from Jerusalem, it's going to be a lot, it's going to be different. This is going to be different. Number four, they will assault the Jews, seize Jerusalem, and behead enemies. And there's the five references that we went through, Old and New Testament. Once again, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. The Old Testament's like, okay, what are they really talking about here? When you read the New Testament, it's like, oh, I get it. This is exactly. That's why we read Revelations. It's the mysteries unveiled. Number five, he, the Antichrist, will change times and laws for 3.5 years. We went through that as well last week in Daniel 7:25. He's going to force a change of religion and the day of worship. He's going to change it to an Islamic calendar and implement Sharia law. So that is right out of Daniel 7:25. So when this eighth empire comes into existence, it will only be, though, for 3.5 years or 42 months before the Lord returns. So the first 42 months, there will be a mystery Babylon running government, because the rapture taking place, the world's kind of crazy, it's chaos, but the Bible says there is peace. Why? Because there's so much stuff for everyone to take. If you didn't go up in the rapture, but there's your Christian next door, your buddy, your Bible-believing buddy's got a Lamborghini, and all of a sudden you're not a believer, he's gone, it's like, that Ghini's yours. You get to drive that Lamborghini. So for 3.5 years, you are very peaceful. You are very happy. Life is good. You're cruising around Ferrari, Lamborghini. This is awesome. And then something terrible happens. After 3.5 years, it all shakes down, and then the Eighth Empire kicks in. Now remember, this is all still watching Jerusalem. Even during the first three and a half years of the tribulation, you're still watching Jerusalem. Because that is where everything, why? The Bible says always watch Jerusalem. It didn't say stop after the rapture church, stop. No, always watch it. Well, why am I concerned if I'm not here? What if you're still here? Well, that's not speaking life, Pastor. No, it says many aren't going to make it. So it's my desire and God's desire that everyone goes up, not just heaven, but I want everyone to go up in the rapture of the church. Do I get a second chance? Yes. At the end of Revelations, John says he saw the bloodstained saints just popping up who had been beheaded for their belief in Christ. So we know that people are going to die during the tribulation. I don't want to get beheaded to go to heaven. If I have to, okay, so I don't want to. So if we can go up straight away, that'd be good. That'd be good. All right, so number six. We left off with number five. This week, we're picking up number six. Facts regarding the empire of the Antichrist. The Lord's going to return to rule in the days of the 10 kings. The day of the 10 kings. So there's still the 10 kings, but the Antichrist, they've given power over to him. He leads that coalition. Daniel 2:44, Old Testament. In the days of these kings, these are kingdoms, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. So what's he saying? At the end of time, these 10 kingdoms will still be in existence, right? The end of, or when Armageddon takes place, this is when you and I come down and everything's gone, they wipe it out. Even says at the end of Revelation, it says Jesus speaks and it's like a sword comes out of his mouth and he cuts everyone off. Everyone goes and thrown in the abyss, and this is what's happening. So when you and I see these things beginning to form, what is beginning to form? A one-world religion, a one-world government. George Soros 3 years ago said China's the only holdout. As of 2 weeks ago, China is ready to sign into a one-world economy. That's just fact. It's not... Are you just making it up? It's facts. It's on TV. And we know TV is factual. I'm kidding. It is fact. They've been talking about this in the G20s. The time of the end, we've been going through this, and it has the 10 kings coming to power, though, before the Antichrist. These 10 kingdoms are going to have this coalition before the Antichrist comes into play. So if these 10 kingdoms are going to be in existence the first 42 months of the tribulation, they're going to have this coalition. Then, right around the time of the rapture, there is a war of Gog and Magog, but then there's also 10 nations that are going to form a coalition. we will start to see these 10 nations starting to form, because it's not going to happen the day after we're gone. It's, you already see things in the works. You already see a one world religion starting to form. Well, how, why do you say we already see it happening? Because Jesus said in Matthew 24 and Luke 21, you will know the signs of my return, right? How do we know? Because you'll be brought up in front of kings and government for my name's sake. Are people not being slaughtered right now in front of kings and governments? Right now, people are being brought up in front of their own churches for his name's sake, because some people believe the Bible is true and some people don't. You get, it says you'll be brought up in front of your own synagogues. And when you see those things happen, know that the end is near. So, but the Bible says in Daniel, the Antichrist, he's going to uproot three of these 10 leaders and put his own leaders in, making back, going back to 10. So something is going to take place with three leaders, and he's going to put his own people in. This is what Daniel 7:8 is telling us. I considered the horns, the 10 horns from verse 7, or this Antichrist, and behold, there came up among them a little horn. This little horn is the Antichrist. So I considered the horns, these nations, these 10 horns, these 10 kingdoms from verse 7, and behold, there came up among them out of those nations a little horn, or the Antichrist, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. He removed them, and his horn was eyes like the eyes of man and mouth speaking great things. So out of those kingdoms, those 10, someone's going to arise, an Antichrist, and he's going to remove three that are probably against him and replace them. So in the days of the 10 kings is when the Messiah returns. So when these is when you see these 10 kings or kingdoms starting to form, you guys, there's a seven-year period. That's it. It's done. So what is the Eighth Empire? Most scholars traditionally look at the previous five empires, which we looked at. Five of those were non-existent when John wrote Revelations. Just as a repeat now, five empires, non-existent in John's days. Now, this is going back to Daniel 2. Remember, there's a vision or a dream that King Nebuchadnezzar would have. You grew up in Sunday school on the little felt boards. You guys remember the little felt boards? They don't use those a lot anymore. But the felt boards, they had King Nebuchadnezzar, and at the top there was gold and silver, and it keeps going down and down to this clay, right? And there's an explanation, it goes through the dream, and Daniel explains to Nebuchadnezzar all these kingdoms that had already taken place. So the Egyptian Empire, the Assyrian, Babylonian, Medo-Persian, and Grecian Empire. Now after Greece came the Roman Empire. Well, how do you know that? It's fact, it's not just in the Bible, historical writings. John said that in his day there was a kingdom or an empire that was. Now, that was. So the beast that was, or kingdom or empire. So the beast that was, which is a kingdom or an empire, it was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven that goes into perdition. Now, what does that mean? There's a beast that was. There was an empire that already was, that already took place, and now it's no longer. And out of that empire, out of those previous empires, will come the eighth empire, which is going to be of the seven empires. There's been five empires up until John writing this. At the time John wrote this, there was the Roman Empire. If you go back to page 2 of your notes, that was the overlay. You guys remember? That's the overlay of that empire, the Roman Empire. So there's a Roman Empire. Okay, so something, and it says, and the eighth empire, which will take place in the last 42 months of the tribulation, that's the eighth empire, is going to come out of the previous seven empires. Well, I thought John was writing from the sixth empire. Yes, but the seventh empire is the 10 kingdoms that form at the beginning of the tribulation. Everyone following me? Okay. I know it's a little tricky, but The kingdom that John was referring to is Rome, because Rome was ruling in John's day. Last week, we looked at theories of the Seventh Empire, and tonight we're going to look at the Eighth Empire. Now, here are some beliefs or theories that people have had over the years on the Eighth Empire. Once again, this Eighth Empire is what's going to happen the last 42 months of the tribulation. So why do I need to know if we are not here? Because the Bible said in Revelation 1, blessed are you to know this. Why? Because there will be signs prior to the rapture of the church that these are taking place. It is your wake-up call that Jesus is coming. He doesn't want to catch you unaware. He doesn't want to catch you. So here's a theory of the Eighth Empire. The last 42 months. Is first one is a reviving of the ancient Roman Empire or the EU, European Union. The difficulty you have with this Eighth Empire and saying that is the Roman Empire or the current EU is it's so violent, and the Eighth Empire is, and it's murderous, and they're going to behead you. This can't be some peaceful man heading over or up the EU, which has been talked about for centuries. Can't be. It's a vicious beast or empire with large iron teeth and claws that tears and tramples anything that's in his way. This is not a characteristic of the European Union. The Antichrist will more than likely take over the part of the world, but to say that the Eighth Empire is the EU, it does not fit biblical scenarios in Scripture whatsoever. Also, the EU nations are predominantly westernized and not Eastern. And it has to be an equal East and West in Daniel 2, which goes back to the statue of the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. So just there's a couple of things we're going to go through. I just want to dispel real quick. It's like, well, it could be this, it could be this. So we focus on the right thing. So secondly, theories of the Eighth Empire, 10 divisions that form a global system. Now, years ago, this came out, and it's still being taught that the world's going to be divided up into 10 because it talks about the 10 kingdoms, right? The 10 kingdoms. So these 10 nations or 10 kingdoms, right after the rapture of the church, are they're going to form a coalition and come up against Israel. Okay? So people have said, well, these are the 10 divisions that form this global system, right? So this would mean that Canada, the United States, Latin America, Eastern Europe, Western Europe, all these large nations will have to submit to the Antichrist. In the Bible, Zechariah 13:9, Revelation 6:8, it talks about, remember, we went through this too, it's like a third of the water's gone, a third of the trees are gone, a quarter of the people are wiped out, and there's just going to be all this stuff. Along with, the Bible speaks to a region, right? It's the old, right? It's the old empires. It's going to be one of the first seven empires that this eighth empire comes out of. Well, Iceland is not in one of the first seven empires. Canada is not even one of the first. The United States wasn't even discovered yet, so it can't be in there. So we have all the divisions then of how it's separated on this map, and this isn't one or two. I mean, a lot of people look at this and go, this is what's going to happen. Well, South America is not going to come up against, because it doesn't fit anything in the Bible. They just assigned a number and says, well, it's going to be the whole world that comes up. Those are the 10 nations. No, it's not. Number three. Theories of the Eighth Empire, and this is your best choice. An Islamic caliphate will rule 42 months. Now, this doesn't really seem far-fetched, does it? Even in the natural, you could say, oh, I could see that happening. But now you have to line it up with Scripture, because just in the natural, you see it happening, as we talked last week. I can see something from far away, and it's fuzzy, and it's like, and you start guessing what it could be. The closer you get to something, it gives it definition. You go, oh, that's what it was. I thought it was something totally different. So when you look at how close we are to the time of the end, it becomes very, very clear where and who certain things and how things fall into place. So the Islamic caliphate is the only thing that makes logical sense. It also is the best solution when you look at the prophecies that are summed up in Jeremiah, Isaiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, Zechariah, and Revelation. All of these are apocalyptic books. All of these speak to the time of the end. It's not just about Revelation. It's not just about Daniel. We've gone through so many scriptures in this, and it just keeps pointing. Some people ask, well, why doesn't the Bible just say, hey, watch out for an Islamic caliphate? I don't know. Why doesn't the Bible say, hey, guess what? On February 3rd, 2016, the rapture's taking place. Well, that would seem, that would be a good idea. No, because then we would never, we would always wait until, right, until January 31st to get right with Jesus. Correct? Just one person? Yeah, come on. All right. How many people would we witness to if we knew Jesus was coming February 1st, 2016? I would live like, I just wouldn't want to die, right? I would just kind of, I'd go around like Bubble Boy and I'd have as much fun as I possibly could. Just don't want to get hurt. I wouldn't go on an airplane. I would just go out and have fun, live life crazy. And it's like January 31st, give my heart to Jesus. Woo, I get the best of both worlds. But Islam didn't even come into existence till 600 years after Christianity came into existence. So what they're explaining is not just in words, but they're explaining the particular religion and the scenarios and the details of what they would look like and what they do. Everything we've been reading points to an Islamic caliphate. You have to turn on the news and go, that's what this is going to be. This is what they're doing. They're telling you they want to bring end times. They're telling you the Mahdi. They're telling you that Isa is going to be this false prophet who we call Jesus. And they're telling you this is what's going on too. But this is what Muslims believe. So an Islamic caliphate will be this eighth empire. And it will set up shop, right according to God's word, in Jerusalem the last 42 months. It's always been about, once again, Jerusalem, everyone. It's always been about Jerusalem. Now, the nature of the Antichrist. What is the nature? So what we're doing is we're looking at Scripture. So Scripture is descriptive, so we're looking through this. It's like, well, are we going to try to figure him out? Are we going to name names? No. But we look at the nature because it's not just, see, the Word says that, you know, that the spirit of the Antichrist is already here. It's been around forever. The spirit of. And then that one person, though, is going to lead it at the end. So you can look at signs of a spirit of the Antichrist as well. But here is the nature of the Antichrist. He is a Gentile and not a Jew. He is not a... So biblically speaking, if you're not a Jew, you're a... So he's not a Jewish person. Some people think, oh, he's going to be a Jewish person. No. This is based on Daniel chapter 2 and the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had starting from the top going all the way down into the inner Gentile kingdoms. Also in Revelations 11, 2, it says that the Gentiles trampled the city of Jerusalem for 42 months. Okay, we're going to read this. Revelations 11, 2. But the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not. For it is given now unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot for how many months? So Jerusalem, at the end, the last 42 months, the Antichrist in this eighth empire takes over, sets up the religion and government right out of Jerusalem. And it's just going to wiping the city out for 42 months. Number two, the nature of the Antichrist. He will become great with a small people. He will become great with a small people. Daniel 11, 23. And after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully, for he shall come up and he shall become strong with small people. Well, so what does that mean? Small people, ones that were indecisive on whether or not they should commit to him. And that words that they're using, there's Daniel, once again, is Aramaic and in Hebrew, so it goes back and forth, but that word with small people means the region around them will be indecisive whether or not they want to follow him. So he will be easily taking them over. He's actually going to go into Egypt with a great army and overthrow. Egypt has been very wishy-washy on Israel, right? They were really strong for him when we were giving them $1 billion a year with Mubarak. But now They're kind of scared because what's been going on inside their government as well. People are getting wiped out by the Muslim Brotherhood. So he's been asking the United States, could you guys help push this thing with Jerusalem so they stop building, so the Muslim people stop killing our people in Congress? So this is going to take place. They're going to be making, they're going to be becoming great with small people, meaning they're going to start taking over people who really aren't, they're indecisive on whether or not they should join the Antichrist or not. Number three, the nature of the Antichrist is he sets out to stop Jewish worship. He sets out to stop Jewish worship. Revelation 12:6. Isn't it interesting, the fighting that's been going over just to have the holy spot? See, it's going to come to a culmination. This is it right here. So why? Because God is going to allow it to happen. You know, the only thing that's been keeping the enemy away now is God. God's the only thing. And then after that 3.5 years of peace, everything's cool. No one's going to mess with Israel, right? War of Gog and Magog. Oh my goodness, but then after 3.5 years, those witnesses come in. After that, witnesses are done for 3.5 years, they're going to say, we're tired of them, we're going to wipe them out. He sets out to stop Jewish worship. I'm going to read this from the Amplified. And that woman, this woman is interchangeable, and you have to go back to the original text. So in Revelation 12:6, in this particular place, this woman herself fled into the desert, Israel. This nation, these Israeli people, fled into the desert, where she had to retreat prepared for her by God, in which she is able to feed and keep safe for how long? 42 months, 3.5 years. Why would they have to flee? Because he's coming in to take over. He takes Jerusalem over when he kills the two witnesses, and then everyone starts fleeing into the wilderness. That's also in Revelation 11:3. Then he sets himself up as God. 2 Thessalonians 2:4. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So this Antichrist, after wiping out and killing the two witnesses, becomes godlike. Because no one else for 3.5 years, right? Every people who got close to them, the two witnesses, breathed fire, called down rain, floods, blood, the water turned into, they could do anything they wanted to do. All of a sudden, he was able to kill them. Even though they rose up, people are buying into his power. And it says he's going to be sitting at the temple of God in Jerusalem. Daniel 11:37, not just New Testament, Old Testament. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of woman, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. So he will set himself up like God and receive worship just like God would. Now, before we move on, Daniel 11:37, it's interesting when you read the entirety of that chapter. When it talks about neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God. Now, some people said, well, in the years, it says, well, if he doesn't desire that of women, that means he must be a homosexual. Or, once again, we're trying to figure out who could this person be, right? So immediately, well, if he no longer has the desire of women, now the Bible says, or in Daniel says, no longer has the desire for this natural affection towards women. He won't honor or respect them. And it's interesting, neither shall he regard the God of his what? His fathers. The ones who went before him, who worshiped God. He will no longer have this natural affection or respect for women, nor anybody else's religion. He shall magnify himself above all. So what does this mean? Daniel 11:37. Now, throughout Scripture, and we just went over this maybe 15 minutes ago, it says that the spirit of the Antichrist is already here. Part of that coalition of the 10 kingdoms that are going to turn their power over to him, right, for 1 hour to destroy that city halfway through the tribulation, they itself are going to have a spirit of the Antichrist in them. Do you guys understand? There's still a spirit. They're not the Antichrist, but there's going to be a spirit of them. 2 years ago, the president, and he's gone back and forth every 8 years, prime minister and president, Vladimir Putin of Russia, he went and got a divorce after, I believe it was 37 years to his wife. He attends Catholic church every single Sunday. Vladimir Putin does. Divorced his wife. Oh, okay, that's sad. Who cares? Why are you telling me? Okay. His priest went on TV. It's 2013. And said, "We as a nation are shocked." I mean, this is a quote. "We are shocked at our president. He has, by doing and divorcing his wife, proving he no longer has an affection towards his wife of 37 years. He is also, by getting divorced, going against the God of his fathers, who are all in Catholic Church." Well, he's the Antichrist then. No, it's the spirit of. You don't think Russia is going to be a player in end time prophecy? Bible says it is. Ezekiel 38, 39. And it's the southern tip of it, and also is going to be part of that in the Ten Kingdoms. So I'm just, once again, I don't want you to get just locked into one person. Who is it? It's the spirit of. You will see this coalition all becoming like this. So now what we went over, what is the last kingdom, the eighth kingdom, what is the nature of the Antichrist? So it's going to be an Islamic caliphate. Right? The nature, this is who he's going to be like. He's going to set himself up as God. He's going to the small people, the people who don't agree with him, but they're small in stature and they're on the fence, he's going to either win them over or trample them over. He is going to set up shop inside of the Jewish temple. And so this is who he is. Now the theories, though, of the location now and headquarters. This headquarters of the Eighth Empire. Now, I've heard people, and this is, like I said, you can go, this has been taught for years, and once again, I'm not trying to bash anyone for their teaching, because 30, 40 years ago, once again, it was fuzzy of what was going on. But what I'm trying to tell you now is I'm just dispelling some things as we're getting closer to the time of the end, what's taking place. So the first theory that's been going on for a long time is that New York City, which is the headquarters of the United Nations, will be the headquarters of the beast. Okay? This theory says the beast or the Antichrist will be from America. He will be in New York City in the UN building. Some people think it's already taking place. This theory says that Babylon in Revelation 17 is New York City. That this mystery Babylon is New York City. Why? Because not only do they have a financial system and all, right? They got all these things going on in New York City. It's the Mecca. And this is the part where you and I as Christians, as believers, can't be so prideful to think it's all about the United States. Because it's all about Jerusalem. Well, I wish he would have picked Northville. No, he picked Jerusalem. But why couldn't he have just, I don't know, chosen Detroit? It'd been so much easier to watch and just read the news. It's easier to watch the news about Jerusalem. They get a lot of news. Israel is not a very big place, about the size of New Jersey. But it gets the most airplay of any single nation across the world. It's always about Israel. You turn on the news. This is one of the greatest things, and I've said this for years. What greater way for God to get us the news? See, in his word, he says, watch Jerusalem, watch Israel. Watch Jerusalem, watch Israel. Well, God, I don't know. How do I do that? Just turn the TV on, turn the computer on. Everything is about Jerusalem and Israel. Isn't that amazing? God said 2,000 years ago, watch Jerusalem and Israel. 2,000 years ago, how did they know how to watch Jerusalem and Israel? 400 years ago, how did you watch Jerusalem and Israel? They didn't have to know then because now is the time of the end. That was good. Thank you. Okay, so The time of the end is now. Why? So now we can just open up our phones, watch what's going on with Israel. We can watch what's seeing is going on in Jerusalem. We can see, oh my goodness, look at the two witnesses. I won't be here for that. But you can see the two witnesses as they got killed halfway through water. On your phone, we are able to watch this. This is what's going to take place. So Revelation 17:5. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Mystery of Babylon, the Great, the Mother of Harlots, and Abominations of the Earth. People think of New York sometimes as that. But it doesn't matter what you think. It's got to line up with the Word. New York City has characteristics of ancient Babylon, but this is not what the Bible says who it's going to be. Revelation 17:18. And that woman which thou sawest is that great city. Now, once again, this is where this woman, now you're going into a different, so there's an imitator, right? This false religion, this eighth empire, that woman which thou sawest is the great city or mystery Babylon, which reigneth over the kings of the earth. So this mystery Babylon, which thou sawest is a great city which reigneth over kings of the earth. When is he writing this? John is when the Roman Empire, right? Well, Pastor Grant, the UN controls the leaders of the earth through the UN. No, the UN does resolutions, but it does not rule over the kings of the earth. Some people think, well, the stock market's there, and they rule over the UN's there and the stock market there. No, they don't rule over the money. They just trade money. It has nothing to do with ruling over money. Revelations 18:11. The merchants of the earth, once again, this has given us a clue where this eighth empire is coming from, right? This eighth empire. This merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buys their merchandise anymore. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all thine wood and all the manner of vessels and ivory and all. So there was some city, there was some great area that people were buying all this stuff. And cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense, wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and slaves and souls of men. Some city was providing all of this for trade, and they were also, you could buy souls of men. Interesting. They controlled the souls of men is key into what are they talking about. Remember, this is a not just, it's not limited to money, it's a religious system. And if you believe what they believe and follow what they, it determines whether or not you go to heaven or not, right? Because it can, you can purchase the souls of men. Revelation 17:6, and I saw that woman drunken, once again, in this mode, it's talking about this false religion, this false thing, with blood of the saints and with blood of martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. So John is seeing this region, this religion, this entity with blood of saints and with blood of martyrs from Christ. It's certainly not New York, right? They have crime, but they didn't kill Jesus. Didn't it just say they martyred Christ? They are not have martyred people. New York hasn't martyred people yet for Christianity. That's not happening yet. I'm not saying it won't happen in the future, but that doesn't make it Mystery Babylon, because it has to line with all prophecy. Revelations 18:4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you may not be partakers of her sins and that you may not receive of her her plagues, because it's going to be destroyed in 1 hour. This is going to be destroyed in 1 hour. This is the 10 nations at one point are going to sign over and say, whatever you want to do, Antichrist, they're going to decide, they're going to destroy the city in 1 hour. They're going to destroy the city in 1 hour. I'm going to get back to that. When 9/11 happened, many people thought that was judgment. You guys remember that? This is God's final judgment. This is that 1 hour that the city was destroyed. See, when things happen, it's like, But the buildings, there's a couple buildings destroyed. People did lose their lives, but the city was not destroyed. but it's really been rebuilt. So we have to be careful in how we look at Scripture, how we interpret Scripture, because we'll find out later, oh, that's not what it meant. So you can't run with Scripture. This is why I don't just use the book of Revelations and speculate. I read the book of Daniel. I look at Zechariah. I look at everywhere throughout Scripture, in Thessalonians, and Jeremiah, and Isaiah, because when you look at the entirety of Scripture, it clarifies things for you, not just in end times, but in everything in your life. Remember Isaiah 46, 9. Earnestly remember the former things which I did of old. I'm God, there's no one else like me. I've declared the end and the result from the beginning. This is why you use the whole counsel of God. My counsel shall stand. I am the Lord. I change not. This area that John is referring to in these passages is Rome. Who martyred Christ? Roman Empire. Correct? Who slayed Christians? Roman Empire. Correct, everyone? Everyone with me? Rome killed Christ, initiated over 10 different times throughout a course of 250 years, persecuting Christians. The Roman church claims to control the souls in purgatory, controlling the souls of men. You guys see this in Scripture? So the city, you can trade, you're buying and selling, and they used to buy all these incense, oil, ointments. You guys follow me in this? How did they know this? Because God said it for such a time as you're going to write this thing down, and you and I are going to be living it, and we're going to see it. So there's going to be a city that's going to come out of one of the previous seven empires, which Roman Empire, and there's going to be a religious area, Rome, Italy, that you can buy oils and ointments in from, and you can purchase the souls of men. Purgatory. 18:13 Revelations. Cinnamons, odors, ointments, frankincense, wine, oil, fine flour, wheat, beasts, sheep, horses, shirts, and souls of men. I believe that this system or Babylonian system that controls the soul of men could have the allusion that to the doctrine of purgatory. It's an illusion. Once again, there's the religion that is going to be in place the first 42 months of the tribulation is an apostate Christianity. The first 42 months of the tribulation will be an apostate Christianity, a one-world religion, a form of Christianity. How do I know that? Bible says, last 2 weeks we went over that. We see the signs right now that they're trying to create a one-world religion. The Jewish and Islamic people said, you know what? Now I'm talking about moderate Islam. I am not talking about radical Islam. I'm not talking about those who want to form a caliphate. I'm saying everyone wants peace. Egypt wants peace. There are Muslim nations from Saudi Arabia. Everybody in that region, they want peace. They are not for what's going on with ISIS, which is in a radicalized, right, form of Islam. So what you have here is this Babylonian system is going to control the souls of men. There's an ideology. So why did he just say Catholic Church? Don't get offended on this. This is afterwards. This is an apostate Christianity. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? There's going to be a system. The Catholic Church is the largest religious system that exists on the earth. And we went through this. What is the mark? What is the mark? That is going to be the 600 means Chi, Christos. Christos, an apostate Christianity. I'm taking that mark because I buy into Christos. Okay. I'm going to keep going. Oh, my goodness. Okay. You have Roman popes who have ruled over 1,000 years and have given global influence to all of Europe. That includes placement and removal of kings, right? So the Bible says this area, this mystery area that is in this religious, and it's going to be a governmental thing, this mystery of Babylon, but then there's going to be this false prophet, and it's this woman that the Bible is referring to. All of a sudden, it's going to twist, it's going to change, but in the past, it's been over kings, Roman Empire, the Roman Catholic Church. This is what God says in Revelations 18:4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, that you may not receive none of her plagues. That verse speaks for itself. Don't go into that because there's going to be something coming upon them. The headquarters of the beast is not Washington, D.C., everyone. Come on. You can have a spattering of laughter. It's okay. It is not going to be Washington, D.C. I know you might think it. Some people get angry at what goes on there. Washington, D.C. is not going to be the headquarters for the new, the Eighth Empire. It's not New York City. John said it would have to be a city that was ruling over the kings of the earth in his day. The kings or kingdom. There was a kingdom that was ruling over in John's day. It was not New York. Washington, D.C. was not ruling over in John's day. It was the Roman Empire. Revelation 17, 18. And that woman, once again, this false religion, Mystery of Babylon, or Great Whore, depends on what translation you have. This Babylonian religion, which thou saw, is the great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. So it used to reign over all the kings, Sixth Empire. Second, this is a theory of the Eighth Empire, and we'll close with this. In part because that's where all the notes go to. But I could continue on. But all right. The EU Parliament building in Brussels, some people think that's where the headquarters is going to be. One of those things that has come out on the internet in the last couple of years is the Parliament building in Brussels where the EU meets. The 666th seat is empty. Have you guys ever heard this? For years, this went on. Well, the 666th seat is empty at this building, so it must be the EU where the Antichrist is going to come up and he's going to set shop up in the EU. Well, why is the seat empty then? Are they reserving it for the Antichrist? No, it's not true. The buildings that the EU controls, the Strasbourg building and the Brussels building, the 666th seat is held by a woman from France, which doesn't meet any of the requirements for the Antichrist. And the other is filled by an Italian man from Italy, doesn't meet any of the requirements of the Antichrist. It's not true. So just because you read, do you know that not everything on the internet is true? Okay, I just want to make sure. The only thing that is true is this right here, right? This is the only thing that's true. But a lot of people how we're going saying that Brussels, Belgium, then will pick up the headquarters of the beast. So is this true? Is Brussels in Belgium, is this where the headquarters is going to be? Is this, we're going to pick it up from next week. We're just going to keep going. You guys get this tonight? We're just going to go through, and at the conclusion, in probably several more weeks, we're actually going to name the Antichrist.